Welcome to Video 360, TI's monthly podcast featuring industry news, roundtable discussions, practical tips, and technology updates on the latest innovations in digital video. Now here's your host, John Dixon.
Welcome to the glamorous TI Stafford facility here in Lobby 2. We're here with Greg Delaghi and Ray Seymour of Texas Instruments. It's our first episode of Video 360, Texas Instrument podcast. And we're going to be talking about the future of digital video. And I'd like to remind you, if any comments, any feedback, any suggestions whatsoever, you'll be able to find all the content that we're talking about today and more on www.ti.com/podcast. So just to give a quick introduction just to see who we're talking to and where we're coming from. Greg, if you'd just like to introduce
yourself. You want to go first?
Sure. Yeah. What I've been doing is working on DSP architecture for a while, and also starting to take a look, where we want to go in the future, and what are some of the important spaces for us.
Okay.
Because he's the smart guy.
Ray is also a little, he's the humble guy as well. He's the father of several of our DSP architectures, including the C64X. My name is Greg Delaghi. I manage the DSP systems business here at TI.
Okay, perfect. I guess just to get kicked off is just a question. A lot of people know digital video. A lot of people have heard of digital video. They may associate it with digital cameras. They may associate it with other things. Tell me, from a technology perspective, what are we talking about? What kind of applications are we talking about? Right?
Well, I think, a good way to kind of think about this is to think about all the changes we've seen in speech and audio. As it's gone digital, the proliferation of the cellular phones and the infrastructure associated with it. And you can begin to now think about your life, and as you go through the day, every place you touch speech and audio, video is going to start to appear, right? So, of course, you're starting to see the cameras in the phone, then you'll start to see full motion video in the phone. When you go home and check your messages on the answering machine, you hear a voice. In the future, you'll see a video of the person that talked to you. And also, there's other ways it's kind of starting to work its way in. For example, high-definition television, which is really a digital format, represents a growing base of content. And so many people at home today, when they're recording on their video cameras, what they're actually doing is capturing digital video content. So we'll go into those products, and you'll start to see just video become so prevalent in just every product that you touch throughout the day.
I think the other interesting thing is that with some of the technology breakthroughs that have happened, both in terms of what we're able to drive from a semiconductor lithography standpoint, make chips smaller and more power efficient and so on and so forth, plus the advancements you've seen in some of the video codecs. If you look at technology like H.264 and the advanced video codecs, we're suddenly capable of, at very attractive price points, doing meaningful video experiences. Whereas in the past, if anybody who's played with video conferencing 10 years ago, those were unsatisfying experiences. You would see the hand kind of go across the screen and the audio and video were out of sync. With today's engines that we're able to provide, as well as the advanced codecs, you can make that a very, very good experience and make them friendly and at the price points that consumers would want, both in a wired context and a wireless context.
Okay, so just a question, I guess. We're at a turning point, it seems, from what I see with digital video. Something similar to maybe the PC era. Like, I remember I had the Spectrum 16K when I was, a youngster. And now I would never have guessed.
When you were a youngster.
When I was a youngster. So looking at that, I guess the evolution of the PC, I would never have imagined. Yeah. Would you consider something similar to being where we are now in terms of where we are in a turning point in digital video? Do you see there being that much of a dramatic uptake of video into today's society?
It's interesting if you look at it. If you look at the number of video appliances, if you look at video phones today and you look at IP set-top boxes and you look at things like digital cameras and you look at things like these portable AV players, what isn't widely recognized is there are more video appliances that shipped into the marketplace last year than PCs shipped. So already in unit terms, there are more devices that have been sold in the market more than PCs. But one of the problems is if you look at any of these boxes today that customers are designing, they're very difficult to design. They are typically closed systems. They start with just a basic silicon platform. They've got to do all the heavy lifting in terms of building all that software content, integrating that, getting it to work in a real-time nature, and getting it to market. So we've seen very long product life cycles. you know, what we're aiming to do with some of our next generation technology is how do we go off and make a dramatic change in that slope of the line in terms of the number of video and equipments that are out there, because we're going to dramatically simplify the time to market for our customers, be provisioning not only a silicon platform, but also all of the core software that a customer would need in a framework that allows them to do the real-time manipulation between video and audio and build the system that they want to, with all the classic development tools and the infrastructure in terms of third parties and systems integrators. It is typically the kinds of things we do at TI and DSP.
So you're basically shortening the time frame that developers can get through to market.
Absolutely.
A question then for me is then, if we're shortening the design cycle for customers, we're enabling them to have products faster, evolving quicker. So your grandchildren, I know you're both family men, so what do you expect your children to be playing with in 20 years when they're...
That's a great question. We actually were talking to some of our co-ops that we just had in like about a week ago, and it was kind of the end of the term for them. And we asked them, what were some of the big changes in technology they had seen? And it was interesting. Of course, they mentioned things like iPods. They mentioned, game systems. They mentioned DVD players. And the rate of improvement, is just going to be enormous. And so I think it's going to be the fact, what's going to start to happen, and Greg kind of touched on this, you're going to start to see a proliferation of video and in different standards. So it's going to be important is to have devices that can take maybe content from a DVD player, content from your cellular phone, can handle content from an HDTV broadcast, things that you can hold in your hand. And just think about all the products that we've seen today that we could not have thought of, 4 or 5 years ago. Everything from a digital still camera today, which can do video. So why is it called a still camera when it's doing video? It's a complete transformation of the product. So in a way, I think we almost cannot predict the kind of things that people will do. But we know that by providing a technology which has high-performance DSPs, general-purpose processors, accelerators to do the heavy lifting, giving people a development environment to start to create and innovate on some of these new applications, that's what is going to happen in the future. I think what will happen, though, our children, our grandchildren, they'll look back, and the idea that video content would be pervasive and everywhere will just seem obvious to them. Yeah. And we are, I think you're right, in an early stage of going through a discontinuity to enable that.
Yeah, I think those are excellent points. I also would say I don't think it's a wait for my grandchildren to do it. Last night at the house, my son was telling me he's just downloaded a movie that he was going to watch. I mean, our kids, not our grandkids, our kids have no fear of the technology, and they want to be able to get access to this stuff. And video is 100 times more compelling than even the audio experience, and I think it's going to be that kind of an experience. The other thing is I think... the world of video for the next few years is going to be a little bit confusing in terms of all the different codecs that are out there. Okay. Your cable system today is broadcasting you MPEG-2, so I've got this unbelievable amount of content coming to me that I can capture and redistribute and replay that's MPEG-2. But now I want to use it on a device that's MPEG-4, so I've got to figure out some way to convert that, or to H.264, or from SIFT to QSIFT to VGA, depending on my display. Tremendous complexity there. And we've got to be able to provision the multi-standard nature of a platform inside of that context that I referred to easier to facilitate that. Because my son, if he downloads a movie and it's MPEG-2 and he wants to put in a Zarcos player and that's playing MPEG-4, H.264, he's going to be very frustrated with that experience. And our kids are just going to use this stuff immediately, but you've got to make it easy for them.
Okay. Like, I guess it's one of the things that I've seen in the last few weeks, last few months, is we have a lot of smart people inside TI talking and getting very, very, very excited about DaVinci.
Yeah.
What is DaVinci?
Well, I think look at it for this way, and DaVinci is really, I think, bringing together some of the best ideas that we've got in terms of, you're right, we've got some really great people here, really driven so much by their understanding the application space and the demands we're seeing from the customers. So it's pulling together the best that we can from the technology, whether that's at the chip level in terms of the hardware, the processors, the DSPs, the accelerators and the risk processors, but also pulling together the software on top of that. And you know, from the variety of codecs that you'll have in the different spaces to support all the different standards Greg was talking about, but then also realizing those don't just come out of thin air. You have to have the development environment, the compilers, the simulators, assemblers, linkers, and all those tools as well to be able to develop those applications for it.
Because you're talking about software, you're talking about DSP, you're talking about hardware. This isn't traditionally a market that TI has been working in, software plus hardware. How are we going to deal with that? I guess, Greg, from a business perspective, how are we going to deal with a situation?
First of all, to build on what Ray was talking about, a couple of important points on DaVinci. Number one, DaVinci is a technology, and it is a platform. And what you'll see from Texas Instruments over time is lots of different members of the DaVinci family, each optimized for the specific device configurations that are required. You know, obviously, for an IP set-top box and a digital still camera, those are two fundamentally different configurations. But what we aim to do is provide a platform that will be scalable. And all the software that I write for one application, my set-top box, I'll be able to scale and reuse that software in a context for my portable media player, or however all this convergence of these applications occur. We are shifting the balance significantly away from just the chip. The chip is fundamentally important, and the details of that architecture in terms of its processing capability are the fundamental value proposition. But we're also providing software, not reference software. The codecs that Ray referenced, audio, video, speech codecs, those are production quality software that is released from Texas Instruments with the same kind of quality experience that you have from buying, say, Code Composer Studio today. Robust, production-worthy, and all of a sudden we're enabling the designers to start with those building blocks and spend all their time on the more differentiated aspects of building the system. And that, we believe, is fundamental.
And this is going to be, I guess, traditionally when you have a large, if you want, integration of different hardware, software, it's generally for the bigger customers. Is this going to benefit everybody? Is this just going to benefit big companies that are producing electronics? Who is this going to benefit mainly?
Well, yeah, I think this is very much a cross-the-board thing. You know, Greg was talking about some of the codecs, the video coders and stuff that, you know, will be available, which will, you know, be certified and ready to run right out of the box. What that's really doing, I think, in so many ways, is starting to establish a base of software that now anybody can come in. And that's one of the things that we're really excited about is, as we've talked about earlier, we expect lots of innovation. Innovations will come from large customers, there's no doubt about that, but there's lots of people who have really great creative ideas about what they would do in the video space. And I know for a lot of people, they may have had these ideas for 5 or 10 years, but they just have not had the technology all come together to let them take those good ideas, take them off the shelf, and embody them in a real product. So that's one of the things that for us is just so vital. We think that we are going through this transition, that the video is going to take off, and it's going to be just, you know, little customers with great ideas, and they're going to have the tools and, you know, silicon and everything from us to enable that.
Yeah, it's a very, very valuable point. I think there are some really exciting products that are on the market today that are built on the generation of product before DaVinci, and frankly, what served as a lot of the stimulation for us to develop DaVinci class technology. You can look at the Slingbox, which is something that's received lots and lots of awards. Basically, allows you to do the real-time streaming off your home system and watch TV anywhere you are in the world on virtually any appliance. That's a great application, very small company. You look at some of the best video phones that are in the market now. Think of the WorldGate video phone. That's another small company who took a fundamentally different approach to doing the 30 frame per second H.264 real-time encoder in less than 100K of upstream bandwidth. That kind of compelling value proposition.
So does this mean that you're going to be able to travel less and spend more
time
at home?
I'm not sure I'm going to be able to travel less. I may be able to connect better with my family while I'm on the road. But to Ray's point, it's these next generation bright engineers. Clearly that is going to happen at big companies, but it's also the real exciting stuff is also going to happen through this tremendous innovation that will be enabled as we position this platform in the broad market.
Okay, it seems to be it's a very exciting technology from what I can get and what I can understand. It's one of the questions that I guess hit me is if we're talking about DaVinci, we're talking about software infrastructure, we're talking about the processor, But why would it be DSP in the first place? Why would it be DSP as opposed to some other technology? Why would it be DaVinci? Why would it be DSP?
Because, just from a very practical perspective, you cannot do any of this without DSP, without digital signal processing. This is a very critical, enabling technology. Without it, none of this literally would be possible, because what it is all about now is taking this data, taking video, representing it as data, literally as numbers, and once you do that, you now have your image as a set of numbers. You can do anything you want to it. You can save it, you can store it, you can compress it, you can attach it to an email, just anything. And that's what's the kind of the whole driver for the innovation, is that once you have digital signal processing as your basic technology, you can do whatever you want. And that's what's going to be a lot of fun for people. So you have to first have the digital signal processing technology as a basis of knowledge and understanding of the problems. Then you marry that with what we're able to do in terms of bringing together the semiconductor technology to build these devices, put the programmability in there with the accelerators to give you the lift, recognize that some of these applications require the digital signal processor, but often the general purpose processor as well to perhaps do user interfaces and things of this sort. And you bring all that together, and it's just this, just a wonderful mix of all these critical technologies. But at the end of the day, if you took one of them away and that one was DSP, none of this would be possible.
I think a great example of that is we've all downloaded video clips on our PC, which is a general purpose processor based system. And as you play those, it is not a real-time experience. The video is choppy, the quality isn't there, I can only scale it for small boxes on my screen. That's what happens if you try to do this without the real-time nature of what a digital signal processor brings to the party. And that's what we're changing with the mix of the architecture that's DaVinci.
Perfect. So you've heard it here, folks. You've heard why DSP, you've heard why DaVinci. I think it's we're at a very, very exciting time in the evolution of digital electronics and digital video. I would like for any feedback, anything you have to say, please, www.ti.com/podcast. I've heard that from both Greg and from Ray that they don't know what's going to come next. I've got a feeling that maybe Ray has some ideas, but he's just patenting it at the moment. But so this is it. This is the future. You've heard it here. Please join us next month for the next episode 2 podcast, and I'll see you then. Thank you.